Open your Bibles to 1 John chapter 5. We are closing out the last chapter in 1 John. We've been in it for months. And we went through 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 5 last week. And so I'm just going to 5-minute recap. So, Chris, are you ready to time me 5-minute recap?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. All right. So, 1 John chapter 5, verse 1 started off. This is my 5-minute recap now. All right. It starts off, everyone who believes that Jesus Christ is born of God and everyone who loves the Father will love his child as well. So the first word we hit on real quickly is everyone. And I just want everybody here to know that God's salvation is open to everyone. But we are going to be held accountable for every idle word we speak. Everything we do, whether people know about or we think it's in secret, we're going to have to give an account on Judgment Day, everyone. But it also says in God's word that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved in Romans 10. That's an amazing thing. That means it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what you've been through. It doesn't matter what you've thought. God is willing to forgive you. Not only is he willing, but he's able, and he will. Because the Bible says that I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God that brings salvation to some people who believe. Everyone, right. The next word we talked about is believe, and that's what it takes. We're saved by grace through faith, the Bible says. Jesus came to save that anyone who would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life, but it only gets to those who've received him. To those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So we have to believe. It says that Jesus, everyone who believes that Jesus Christ is born of God. Listen, Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Christ. He is Emmanuel. He is the Holy One. He is the only one who can save. There's no one else. You know, you can say he's a great teacher. You can say whatever. Even the demons acknowledge who he is. I love this verse in James. It says, you say you have faith that you believe there's one God? Whoop-de-doo. That's the Darren translation. Good for you, it says. Even the demons believe that and shudder. But they don't willingly submit. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we need to submit to him. And anyone who says that Jesus is not the Christ is a liar, liar, pants on fire. All right? So everyone who believes that Jesus Christ is born of God, and we must be born again. We talked about that a lot. It doesn't say should or might be a good idea. You must be born again. Born from above. Born anew in the Greek. The Bible says, I love Spurgeon's too, must. And then if we are born again, we've been born again, the Bible says, not of perishable seeds, but imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. And that means new life. And then everyone who loves the Father will love his child as well. You can't say, I love God and hate Jesus. It doesn't work that way, right? Jesus even said to the Pharisees, he said, if God were your father, you would love me, for I've come here from God. I have not come on my own. God sent me, okay? And so we talked about loving God and loving others. We talked about how the Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 3, loving God means keeping his commandments. That's pretty clear, isn't it? Does that mean you'll do it perfectly? No, but that's your desire, right? The Bible says, if anyone loves me, he's going to keep my word. And contrary to that, John 14:24 says, whoever does not love me doesn't keep my word. Right? That's pretty clear, I think. And this is I love. Loving God means keeping his commandments, and they are not burdensome. Not. And you remember what that burdensome, that Greek word is? Does anybody remember? Don't bring me down. Bruce. That means heavy, weighty, severe. They're there to help us, not to hurt us, right? All right. Let me zip through the rest of this real quickly. All right. And get to where the last verse 5, talked about being overcomers. And that's what Revelation says. He or she who overcomes, who perseveres through all this, shall inherit all things. I will be his God, and he shall be my son. So God wants us as overcomers. How'd I do? 5 minutes? Boom. Thank you. Thank you very much. You know that's hard for me. It is. All right. So now I'm going to read 6 through 12. I didn't think I could finish the chapter today. So let's read it together. Everybody got their Bibles open? 1 John chapter 5, verse 6. I'll read 6 through 12 and then we'll go through it. Here we go. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three who testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and the three are in agreement. Verse 9 says, we accept man's testimony, but God's testimony is greater, because it is the testimony of God, which he has given about his Son. Anyone who believes in the Son of God has this testimony in his heart. Anyone who does not believe God has made him out to be a liar, because he has not believed the testimony God has given about his Son. Verse 11 says, and this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Verse 12 says, he who has the Son has life, right? And he who does not have the Son does not have life. Okay. Well, that's pretty meaty. And ooh. Okay. All right. Well, we'll just make do with this way it is. All right. So here's what we got. 1 John chapter 5, verse 6. It starts out, this is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. All right. It still is, even though it does this. Okay, so some of this, now I loved teaching last week. Last week was fun, it was powerful, it was dynamic. Now this week is a little bit more teachy, and I'm thinking, oh, and there's some kind of confusing things. I don't know if you were reading it, and you were like, the water, the blood, the testifying, what does all this mean, right? Well, I was thinking the same thing. So as we're going through this, we'll get through it together by the power of the Holy Spirit. But this is what he says. He says, this is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He didn't come by water only, but by water and blood. And then he goes on to say, it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is truth. Okay, so the first thing we're talking about, and is this mic on? Can everybody hear me? Okay, maybe it's just me. It says he came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Okay, so now a lot of people, sometimes Christians, they get self-righteous. I'm sure you've never seen a self-righteous Christian.
You mean today?
God wants us to be righteous, not prideful and self-righteous. Okay? It has a stink about it, doesn't it? Well, sometimes Christians can be kind of, they can fight about the dumbest things, right? So these next few verses, sometimes Bible theologians, they're doing battle. It means this. No, it means this, and it means that, and it, oh my gosh, how could you possibly think that? What are you, a heretic? Okay, so we're just going to go through what the word says. I'm going to tell you what I think it means. If you disagree with me, I still love you in the Lord. Okay? Does that sound good? Okay, all right, let's just do it together. So here are some meanings. What is the water? This is the one who came by water and blood. What does that mean? Okay, in Jesus' time, especially when John is at the end of his ministry, right? He's writing, and there's this group called the Gnostics, and they were super spiritual. They believed that Jesus, he was so holy, right, that he couldn't have been real flesh and blood. He couldn't have been Emmanuel, God with us. Like, he would lower himself to be one of us just to present God to us. He would never lower himself. That's what they said. So when he walked on the sand, you know, at the Sea of Galilee, you wouldn't see any footprints, they would say, because he was a millimeter above the ground because he was so holy. Because he didn't really exist. More like a phantomish. And then he didn't really die on the cross because he was never really living, they would say, because he was so holy. He would never taint himself with such sin. But that is the opposite of what the gospel says. He was born by water and blood. So here are some things that people think it means, okay? Some think water and blood speak of Jesus' natural birth, okay, where both water and blood are both present. That makes sense, doesn't it? Okay, so in other words, they're saying, hey, he was really born. He was in the flesh. That's what John was saying. That's a possibility, okay? Others believe that water speaks of our own baptism, like we're baptizing people today. And blood speaks of receiving communion. So when John writes how Jesus comes to us at our baptism, he's going to meet us out there at the beach. He's going to be with us here in communion. He's with us. But I don't think that's either, because it doesn't say that he comes to us. It says this is the one who came by water and blood. In other words, He already did that. So I'm not sure that's it. Martin Luther believed that. I think John Calvin, some other church fathers. But still others believe that it was the blood. Do you remember? It was around the time of Passover, and the Jews didn't want Jesus up on the cross, right? So being the totally spiritual guys they were, they said, hey, go break the legs of all the people you're crucifying so that we won't have Jesus on the Sabbath, okay, still alive. And so they did. They broke the other two guys' legs, and then they went up to Jesus, but he had already given up his spirit, if you remember that. And you remember what they did? They took a spear, remember? Pierced his side, blood and water flowed. Says that in John 19. I don't think that's it either. So here's what I think. And if you disagree with me, okie dokie. But this is what I think. I think the water that it's saying here, it came by water and blood, either refers to his baptism, okay, or by Jesus' physical birth, saying that, you know, he was born. In other words, like this next scripture says in John 3, 5 through 6, Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you," when he was speaking to Nicodemus, he says, "No one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit." Because, and then he says, "Flesh gives birth to flesh, but Spirit gives birth to Spirit." In other words, Nicodemus was like, Jesus said you have to be born again. And Nicodemus was like, "Hey, I'm a Pharisee. I'm a religious guy. I keep all the commandments." And he's like, no, you got to be born again. And Nick, that's what I call him, Nick, we're like this. And Nicodemus said, "What, am I supposed to go back into my mother's womb? I was born that way by water." And he's like, "Oh no, you don't understand. You must be born again, born of the Spirit, born from above." Okay? So he didn't come by water and blood. So that's what I think that means. And it says, it is the Spirit who testifies, because it says that the Spirit is truth. Okay? And the Holy Spirit does testify. If you remember in John chapter 16, 13, Jesus called him the Spirit of Truth. It says, however, when he, speaking of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth has come, it says that he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. He's going to testify, and he will tell you the things to come. That's John 16, 13. Okay? It goes on to say in the next verse, in verse 7, and this is another doozy. This is another doozy. This is where I would like to skip over these couple of battling verses, but I can't because they're in the Bible. Okay? It says, my translation says this, as do many of yours. It says, for there are three that testify. Okay, 1 John 5, 7. All right, there are three that testify. Now, that word testify is actually a really cool word. It's a Greek word that's martyro, and it means to be a witness. You know, you've heard of martyrs, right? Those are the people who died for Christ. They were witnesses for Jesus. They spoke about Jesus. They gave an account of Jesus. They said, I'm eyewitnesses. My hands have touched. My ears have heard. I'm telling you, this guy, I'm living for him. I'm dying for him, whatever, right? So a martyro in Greek means to be a witness or to bear record, to affirm something that has seen something or heard something or experienced something. Okay? Or even by divine revelation. And there's three that testify. In the Old Testament, in order to have something valid, you had to have the testimony of two or three witnesses. So God's saying, man, there's three witnesses that testify. Now, here's where it gets ugly, and this is what I almost don't wish I didn't have to say it, but I do. Now, some of your translations, there's a couple of translations that are going to have this added onto it. And Christians are battling the snot out of each other. Okay? Now, the Bible's record is about 97 to 99%. They say there's more manuscripts for the Bible than any other historical book on the planet. Crazy in comparison. I think 1,300 to the next, maybe 900, I think, if I'm going back from memory, to the next historical book. But the biblical record is so accurate, like 25,000 copies, okay? Now, here's the thing, accurate to about 99%, okay? However, there are a few places where there's some words, Some manuscripts have and some don't. This is one of those spots. And why do I tell you? Because I think you need to know. Here's why. Some folks have, some of your translations may have this in there. Mine has it as a little side note, okay, saying, hey, it's not in all the manuscripts, it's in some. And this is what it says. In heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. Now, here we go, okay? So that's a pretty big thing. And one of the reasons why they fight so much is because that's a clear statement of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, okay? So some of your translations will have that, some won't, okay? And I don't think it's a big deal to fight about it, and let me tell you why, okay? And hear me out here, okay? Mine, again, in my Bible, and like the NASB or NLT, they'll have this part right here saying, hey, it's in the margin, it could be there, we're not sure. And so this is why. This little section here, okay, wasn't found in any of the manuscripts, okay, all the way up until the 14th century, okay? And I don't know if you can see my Bible from here. I don't know if you can see this, but do you see all these notes that I have in my Bible? You see the scribbles? You see the underlines? You see the scripture references, little notes I have to myself in there? Can you see that? Actually, it was found once in the 11th century, once in the 12th century. I know some of you are glazing, but this is important, okay? And they were written as a little side note, like I would write my little side notes on here, okay? So it wasn't up until the 14th century that they found it, the manuscripts with that in it. So, but here's the thing. It doesn't really matter because you'll see the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit throughout Scripture, right? You'll see other references to that. And what I don't want to have happen is if you have this in your particular translation, there's nothing wrong with that. It's biblically accurate too. And somebody like the cult, the Jehovah's Witnesses, comes to you and say, hey, I hear about this Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We just think the Holy Spirit's a vibration. He's a power. He's a force. We don't think he's a person. We don't think, there's three persons, you know. And you point them this verse, they're going to say, wait a minute, that wasn't in a lot of the manuscripts. So you kind of have to know this, okay? And also, it's not in any of the ancient translations, and I won't go into all that. It was only in one, the Latin Vulgate, okay? So again, this didn't appear until the 14th century, okay? So I'm not sure whether it's in there or not, but either way, what it says is true. So if it should be in there, okay. If it's not, shouldn't be in there, okay. All right? So I don't think there's really a need to fight about it because there's plenty of verses that talk about the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 13:14, you can see it clearly, right? You'll see the three there. It says, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son, and the love of God, the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, right? That's clear? Father, Son, Holy Spirit, right? Okay, here's another one. We're baptizing people today. There's, by the way, if you need more, text me and I'll give you a zillion of them, okay? But I didn't want us here all day. Matthew 28:19, Jesus said, hey, I want you to go make disciples. We're going to be doing this today. And it says, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the what? Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, okay? So there's plenty of places where you see the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, okay? So, all right, so 1 John. Back to 1 John chapter 5. We're going to go, for there are three that testify. And mine goes on to verse 8, and it says, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and the three are in agreement. Man, this couldn't be an easy one, right? I told you this was going to be a little bit more teachy, but hear me out. So there are three that testify. Okay, the first one is the Spirit. Now, what do you think the Spirit is? That's pretty easy. The Holy Spirit. Amen. That's exactly right. There are three that testify. The Spirit is number one. That's the Holy Spirit. Now listen, here, this is another Trinity one, but this is the Spirit testifies. The Holy Spirit will testify. And I love this picture. Chris, if you can hit the lights for a second, I want everybody to see it. in speaking of the Holy Spirit, when Jesus was speaking, he calls him the advocate or the helper or the comforter. In John chapter 15, 26, it says, when the Holy Spirit, when the advocate comes, whom I will send, that's Jesus speaking, to you from the Father, Father God, the Spirit of truth, he will go, who goes out from the Father, he says, he will testify about me. So listen, when Jesus went and died on the cross, gave up his spirit, shed his blood for all of our sins, that whoever would believe in him wouldn't perish but have everlasting life, he sent the Holy Spirit. Father God sent the Holy Spirit. And it says the Holy Spirit testifies about Jesus. So I know that God is working in your life, in my life, when the Holy Spirit is crying out to you about Jesus. Okay? Here's what the Holy Spirit will do. He's not going to testify about my church, my church, my church, my pastor, my pastor, my pastor, right? How righteous, my good works. He's going to testify about Jesus, right? Listen, here's what the Holy Spirit will do. It says in John chapter 16, 8, it says, and when he, speaking of the Holy Spirit, comes, he will convict the world of sin, right? So I know the Spirit of God is working in your life when he's convicting you of sin. Because if you didn't care about the Holy Spirit, it wouldn't bother you. Am I right? You'd be numbing your ears. You'd be like, I can't hear you, God. La, 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 la. But he's working in your heart. Listen, you're feeling bad for a reason about what you're doing and what you're saying. I just feel bad. That's terrible. I don't want to come to you. I don't want to hear that message. Well, you know what? God wants you to hear it because he wants it out of your life. That conviction's a good thing. Do you understand? That means God cares about you. He's speaking to you. He's convicting you of your sin. Thank you, Jesus. Imagine a parent. Imagine your Heavenly Father. This is your Heavenly Father. Imagine a parent who said, oh, yeah, go ahead, kid. Do whatever you want to do. Oh, yeah, visit any website you want to visit. Sure, I don't care. Would that parent care about his kid? You want to smoke dope? What you want to do whatever? Do it. Whatever. Who cares? That would not be a loving, caring father. It says, when he comes, he's going to convict the world of sin and also of God's righteousness. He's holy. It's almost like that's like a bad word today. Listen, God's holy and he wants you to be holy. That means set apart. It's not fancy. It's not super spiritual. He wants you set apart for his use. Does that make sense? And he's going to also convict the world of the coming judgment. He's saying, hey, you, the enemy wants you to live for right now. Think about yourself. Don't worry about anybody else. Don't worry about anything else. You just live for you. Am I right? That's what the enemy says. God is saying, listen, there's a coming judgment. No, I want you to live for me. Does that make sense? Do you hear what I'm saying? So listen. In Romans also, chapter 8, 16, it says the Spirit himself, he'll testify to us. The Holy Spirit testifies. It says, this is in the Amplified version. Thank you, Peggy. The Spirit himself testifies and confirms together with our spirit, assuring us that we believers are children of God. He'll do the same thing for us. It says not only that, there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. Can you think of, okay, so now we'll talk about the water. Can you think of a time when God testified with Jesus at the water that had to do with water? Do you remember? Can you think of any time? Oh, like a dove? Like, yeah, yeah? I agree with you completely. In fact, just so happens I have a slide for that. That's right. There are three to testify. The Holy Spirit testifies to us. God testified right when Jesus came out of the water in Matthew 3, 16 to 17. Listen to this. It says, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water, and at that moment, heaven opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending on him like a dove and alighting on him. And it says, a voice from heaven testified or said, however you want to say it, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. That's a different translation. But this is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Right? So God's testified by the Holy Spirit, also by water. But also that baptism is supposed to be testifying to our life too. If you, how many of you guys have been baptized? Raise your hand. Okay, praise the Lord. Good, keep it going. This is how, now, you don't just get dunked in water and go about your business. Somebody got baptized when they were little, and they said, you know what? I'm older now. I didn't know really what I was doing then. Now I want to get baptized. And listen, if you want to get baptized today, and God's stirring your heart, you are welcome to do that. Okay? But here's the deal. When we get baptized, we're identifying with him in his death and then in new life. Of Romans chapter 6, verse 4 in the New King James says this, therefore, we were buried with him, Jesus Christ, through what? Baptism. So when we're going under, it's like we're leaving all that sin. We want to be dead to those things. And then just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in the newness of life. So in other words, we come up out of that water, that's a testimony, right? To everybody who saw it, right? And you walking in step with Jesus in a new life, in a new direction, is a testimony to everybody who knew you. Stephen, I'm going to say something about you, and hopefully I don't get in trouble. If it's wrong, then you can correct me later, okay? I'm just telling you, I was talking to your dad today. And you know what I said to him? I said, man, because I remember teaching you in youth. And let's just say that wasn't easy. And I said, what is going on with your son, huh? I said, man, there. He's like, yeah, there's such a change in him. And I'm like, yeah, there is. That's what I'm seeing, a complete, I'm seeing a change. He's walking in a new life, in a new way, in a new spirit, and that's a testimony. See, when people who used to look at you one way, right? Amen. You can applaud that. And we're not even applauding you. We're applauding our Lord, right? You're not applauding this church or this. Listen, you're applauding Jesus Christ. He's the one that's doing the work, right? Amen. And as you walk, right? Hey, let me tell you, there are people, I'll just be honest, embarrassingly so, there are people that if they didn't, when they hear, I don't, they may be watching, so let me think about, what can I say it? So I was with my friend Michael, Zia, a few weeks back, And so he had told somebody that, you know, Darren was now a pastor at a church and I'm preaching the Bible all the time. Let me just tell you something. And this has happened before. He gave him something to give to a person who used to know me. And they said, oh, this little devotional, Utmost for His Highest by Oswald Chambers. I don't know if you ever read it. Yeah, it's awesome. He said, you know what, Pastor Darren Shuttlebauer gave this to you. He said, no, not him. Come on, this is from you, Michael. We know you're the Christian. No, this is from Darren Shuttlebauer. There's no way this is from him. It could be anybody else. It's not him, right? Because I know him, right? Except when the Spirit of God starts to make changes in your heart as the word washes over you and renews your mind and your thinking and the way you used to live, you'll start to want to walk in a different direction, in a way that kind of honors the Lord. And the people who you say, you know what? I know this dude. Yep. I don't deny it because what's the point of that, right? I was a scumbag. I know it. I was a dirtbag. I'll just be honest with you. Now people can say, yeah, but now look. See, he's walking in the newness of life. That's a testimony. Does that make sense? And that's how we should all live. Keep walking with the Lord. Your life is a testimony. Everyone who hears you and sees you, Mariah, everybody, speaking of youth, I'm just thinking about that, walk in a new life. Amen? That's a changed life. Does that make sense? So there are three that testify, the water, spirit, the water, and the blood And I think everybody knows what the blood is, and they're all in agreement. What is the blood? The blood represents, who's the blood? Whose blood do you think it is? Jesus, thank you. Right, his death on the cross for our sins. Listen, 1 John 1:7, even though it's a tough passage, there's still good stuff in here. It says in 1 John 1:7, New King James says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we'll have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from a couple of sins. All sins, and that's a testimony, right? You're forgiven and free, even if in your mind, right, you fight it sometimes, don't you? And don't you too? Isn't it true? Because I know I fight it. But God says you are forgiven, hallelujah, and free, hallelujah. Does that make sense? I must drive the camera person crazy when I'm all over the place. But listen, it's the blood of Jesus. That's a testimony. I like what Charles Spurgeon had to say about this. He says, the spirit, the water, and the blood. He says, these are all consistent witnesses telling us who Jesus is. The three agree as one. It isn't as if the spirit tells us one thing, the water another, and the blood says something else. Jesus' life, death, and the spirit all tell us who Jesus is, and they all tell us in agreement. Then he goes on to say, a priest was always ordained by the blood, the cleansing water, and the oil that spoke of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus also had these three witnesses to his priestly ministry. Now listen, the blood also is a testimony for us. Okay? Listen to this. The Bible says this, and this is in Hebrews 9:14. It says, how much more then will the blood of Christ, when you think about the blood, go all the way back. Oh, I probably should have even held this off. You go all the way back to the beginning, right? To Genesis, right? Remember when they first sinned, Adam and Eve? It said that they had to realize they were naked and they had to sacrifice an animal to cover themselves. And they were covered, they covered, right? So there was the shedding of blood. I'm guessing it was a lamb. Just saying, doesn't say that, but that's what I think it is. And they covered a sin, their sin, with a lamb. Okay, the blood testifies. I even think back a couple chapters later, you remember on a negative example, remember Cain and Abel? Remember Cain killed Abel? He was jealous or whatever, right? And God went to him and said, hey, Cain, where's your brother Abel? And Cain's like, duh, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? You know? Yeah, that's right. And he's like, you know what? I'm paraphrasing here. It's like God's like, you know what? You do know, because your brother's blood is crying out. The word in Hebrew is sa'ak, and it means crying out in testimony as a witness against you. So that blood all the way through, okay, has been a testimony. How much more then, okay? Think of all the lambs that were slain, right? Think of the Passover lamb in Egypt to set the people free, right? From sin, bondage, slavery, right? Passover lamb, right? Spotless, sound like anybody? How much more then? The lamb, all the sacrificial system, all the way to Jesus. How much more then will the blood of Jesus Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death. And here's the reason why. So that, and if I can say it this way, we will be a testimony to others. So that, here's the whole reason why he did this, we may serve the living God. You used to serve yourself in your own selfish ways. Now is God saying, my blood's, I just realized you were here. Wonderful to see you. Now I can live to serve you, the living God. Does that make sense? Listen, all throughout the scriptures, 1 John 5:9 says, listen, in your Bibles, it says, we accept man's testimony, but God's testimony is greater because it is the testimony of God, which he's given us about his son. Listen, you accept man's testimony all the time. Okay, you guys came to church today, right? What time was the church supposed to start? 10:30. Did anybody think, gosh, I wonder if the building will be there? I wonder if Pastor D will show up. I wonder if there'll be anybody there. Think that? When I got on a plane to go visit my friend in North Carolina, it said I fly into Atlanta, and then I fly into North Carolina. I didn't think, I trusted the testimony. There's my plane. I'm going to get on the plane. When I get off, I got a rental already. I trusted that, didn't I? We're going to be out at baptism. Do you know what? We're going to go out there no matter what. Like I said, if there's two people out there, there's going to be us too. Hopefully there'll be more. Right. The point that I'm trying to make is you accept man's testimony all the time. You bought a car or a bike or something to get you from here to there. They said, oh, hey, you take this car, it's going to get you there. You didn't even think twice about it, did you? You accept man's testimony all the time. How much more should we accept the testimony God's giving about his son? You hear what I'm saying? We're living in a weird time, aren't we? Weird time. Masks are... Okay, everybody, remember when you had to wear a mask? Not too long ago, you had to wear masks outside. Wait, hold on. Do you remember you had to wear masks outside? Do you remember that? They still do some states, right? And now we're finding out, oh, no, that we don't have to do that anymore. Now outside, you don't have to worry about this and that and the other. If you still wear a mask in here, you can. It's okay. There's no guilt here. There's no shame. But outside, you don't have to... How about, here's something, and this is not a political thing because I could care less who's in charge. I'm simply making a point. Did you know if you stated, right now the new news is, okay, the new news is that this coronavirus might have originated in China. Now, for those of you, yeah, in fact, in the Wuhan lab, right, this is now new news. New news. Breakthrough. Now, if I can just be blunt honest, for those of you who don't know, this is old news.
Yeah.
This is way old news. In fact, if you were on Facebook, Twitter, you were banned. Any conservative, any Christian that mentioned this, you were banned from Facebook for even saying that. Mm-hmm. Right? Oh, the test, fact check it. This is, right? Yeah, you're a conspiracy nut, whatever it is, right? Man's testimony, you're a nut if you think this. And then here we are a few months later. Hey, you know what? Here we are. It might have come from, proof is now showing that.
It really happened.
Right? Man's testimony. Listen, salt. I'm just saying. Okay, I'm getting off on it. Salt, it's good for you. It's bad for you. I can't keep up. What man's testimony is fickle. It goes with emotions and with tides. You'll see that now. But God's testimony remains the same to yesterday, today, and forever. Does that make sense? Oh my gosh, how long have I been preaching? Okay, all right, quick. All right, we got four more verses. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, but let me hear this. Okay, so God's testimony is greater. So listen to this. Not First John. The Gospel of John in chapter 5:37 says, and the Father who sent me has testified concerning me. He's telling the Pharisees, the religious leaders, he's like, hey, you're studying the word, but it's not in your heart. He's like, you know what? He goes on to say in that next verse in 5:38, he says, your word really, you're not really hearing me. The word's really not in your heart. And he goes on to say, this is a doozy. He told them, these religious Pharisees, like these pastors, he says, you study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. But he said, but these scriptures are what testify about me, Jesus said. Listen, if you don't believe the scriptures or the veracity of God's word, the testimony he's given about his son, can I just encourage you? Here's a book, if anybody wants it. Now, you know I'm a book pusher. This is a book called More Than a Carpenter. I made somebody read this. Well, I didn't actually make them. Encouraged. I encourage every... Jeremiah, I made you read it, right? Would you say, like, 1 to 10? What would you say? Okay, dudes, I'm telling you. Now, a lot of the time, I'm just telling you, This is fantastic. Mariah, did you start reading it? I know you got a new baby and everything. Now, can I tell you something, Mariah? I remember you in youth. I was trying to get you to read this 10 years ago. 10 years ago! I love you. You know I'm not. It's free. Free in Jesus' name. Anybody want it? Okay? Free? Okay. Boom, boom, boom. One. And I saw one back there. Chalissa, would you go back? Whoever. I'm going to get here. Listen, if you're a logical person, there's one back there. Here's a couple more. C.S. Lewis, Mere Christianity. The guy was an atheist or an agnostic. He debates it. He'll take you from being an atheist to being sold out for Jesus Christ. It's not an easy read, but it's an awesome read. Does anybody want one of these? You would say fantastic? Okay, you want? Okay, well, then I'm taking this one back, then. I'm giving you that one. Okay, one more than a carpenter. Somebody raise their hand. Okay. Oh, my gosh. I have to get more than a carpenter's. Good. Here you go. You going to read it?
Yes.
Okay. And I got one more. Anybody want this? Oh, good. Oh, that would make sense. Here you go. Joe, would you pass it back? Love it. Love equipping you. So, listen. Find out about God's testimony. Jesus said this to the religious leader. Look, pull back the curtain. You don't have to be shy. Examine it for yourself. You know what? Don't believe me. Here you go. Here's a challenge for you. Don't believe me. I say you go look at the scriptures for yourself. Check it out yourself and see. Because here's what Jesus said in John 7:17. He says, anyone who chooses to do the will of God, he'll find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. 1 John chapter 5, verse 10 goes, anyone who believes in the Son of God has this testimony in his heart. And anyone who does not believe God has made him out to be a liar because he has not believed the testimony that God has given about his Son. Listen, this is a doozy. The Greek word starts with a P. I didn't think I'd forget it. I'm forgetting it. Anyway, the word believe means to put your trust in, your confidence in. So it's not that you just, if you're here and you're on the fence, you don't really believe. What you're saying is you're making him out to be a liar. Ooh, ouch, pastor, I want to go to a nicer church. This is a church who is nice, but we want to tell you the truth so that you know. Okay? Can you hear what I'm saying? Listen what Spurgeon said about this verse, in verse 10. Most everyone who refuses to believe God, in the full sense of the word believe, does not intend to call God a liar, but they do nonetheless. The great sin of not believing in the Lord Jesus Christ is often spoken of very lightly, in a very trifling spirit, as though it were scarcely any sin at all. Yet according to my text here in verse 10, and indeed according to the whole tenor of the scriptures, unbelief is the giving of God the lie or calling him a liar. What can be worse? Many years I called him a liar. I didn't know I was doing that, if I can be honest. But that's what I was doing. And God loved me anyway. Lord, Jesus, oh, he's telling me to, okay. I'm trying to speed through, so I haven't been calling on a lot of you who raised their hands. I'm so sorry. I will talk to you afterwards, but the Lord told me to give you the mic. So I say, okay. Go ahead, Mark.
You were talking about...
I might have just turned it off. I don't know. Yeah. Test 1, 2, 3. Yeah, speak loud. Mark, I don't think you have any problem with speaking loud. If I could just be honest here. Go ahead, Mark.
There it goes.
It's on. Technical error.
Okay. You know, you were talking about how God pulls the curtain back to reveal.
I think we should pull that curtain back. It's
well,
there.
Yeah. Let me just read to you what it says in Matthew 28:51. He says, and behold, the veil of the temple, which is the Holy of Holies, was torn in two from the top to the bottom, And the earth shook, and the rocks split, and the tombs were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tomb after the resurrection, they entered the holy city and appeared to many.
As a testimony. They were
testifying. That's what's happening today after the baptism.
Yes.
You are coming out and you will talk to many.
Yes.
What, about the weather? No, about the risen Lord Jesus Christ and who tore the veil apart. It was God the Father Almighty, proving it was him. It was done from the top to the bottom, not from the bottom to the top. God opened the communication to us through Jesus at the crucifixion, and he sealed the deal.
Yes.
With the Holy Spirit. When Jesus was raised from the dead.
Amen. Last two verses, and then you are free to go. Verse 11 says in your Bibles, we'll read it with me. And you want to know what the testimony is? It says this is what it is, verse 11. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his what? Son. Listen. Guys, you're not saved by a religion. You're not saved by home fellowship. You're not saved by your pastors. You're not saved because you go to youth group. You're not saved because you even have a Bible in your house. You're not saved because 100 zillion reasons. Salvation is found in no one else. There is no other name under heaven given by which we must be saved. And that name is? What's his name?
Jesus.
What's his name?
Jesus.
And don't ever forget it. Listen. God gives testimony. He says, "Very I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged. He has crossed over from death to life." That is the testimony of God. Do you believe? Will you receive it? You can reject it. It's your choice. He will never make you, force you. That's not our God. That's John 5:24. And then here's the last verse. In your script, if you don't have this highlighted or underlined in your Bible, verse 12, actually probably verse 11 and 12, I would do it. Underline that verse, highlight it, remember it. And here's the last verse, but it says this. I got it as a scripture picture. And this is, wait a minute, actually, hold on a second. Yeah, it's just cut the 1 John. Yeah, 1 John chapter 5, verse 12. I panicked for a second. It says this. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. So this is what that means, okay? A lot of people say Jesus is a lot of things, okay? Academia says, hey, Jesus was a good teacher, but that was about it. I'm going to believe God's testimony. Islam says Jesus is going to come back and he's going to be a mafia. It doesn't say mafia. He's going to be an enforcer that kills all the Christians and the Jews. Not my Jesus. Right? J-Dub say he was just a guy, right? Had some power or force on him, right? Or Michael the Archangel, whatever. The Mormons, he's a brother of Lucifer with lots of other spirit children. Yeah, Jesus is just one of the kids. They actually believe this. Or you can believe what God has to say, that he's the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. You can see the testimony that he is the puzzle piece that's missing in your heart that you need, that I need, that we need, and that we can't live without. Oh, you can live without it, but not eternally with God in heaven. Does that make sense? Listen, whatever it is, Jesus, the Son, gives life. Nothing, no one else, your job, your money, your husband, your wife, your kids, whatever gives you the fulfillment that thinks I have to have this to have life. People got to recognize me. They have to think I'm special. They have to be blah, blah, blah. No, it's whoever has the Son. Jesus Christ has life. And whoever does not have the Son of God does not have eternal life. It's just that simple. Does that make sense? Okay, and I see one more hand up before we close out. So, yes, Gage, I don't know where the mic is, but... Okay, go ahead, buddy. Yeah, sorry. Testing, 1, 2, 3, test, test, test. And then people at home that are watching us online, they say, hey, I can't hear what's going on. All right.
So I just wanted to say this one thing. I have a barber that I've been going to for a couple years, and he's 20 years old, and he's from Palestine. Yeah. And he's actually a really good, hardworking kid. And he's a Muslim.
Yeah.
And sometimes we talk about our different views, and it's actually an okay conversation, surprisingly.
Yes, absolutely.
And him and his religion believe that Jesus was a prophet, right?
That's correct.
And I can't help but think to myself when he says that, and I'm a bit of an analytical, logical kind of guy. So when you think about a testimony, especially if it's in court, you think about the credibility of the testimony, and one of the ways that you determine that is through motive. Right, so if you're being accused of stealing something and it's your brother who's giving testimony that you didn't, it probably won't be as credible of a witness as a stranger that says they saw you break into the car. So I couldn't help but think to myself, like, what motive could Jesus possibly have for claiming to be the Son of God just so that he could wind up getting brutally slaughtered at a 50-foot cross, humiliating, have bones broken and, like you said, gut jabbed with a spear. Why would he want to do that? If he was just a prophet, he'd say, hey, I'm a prophet and I'm here to teach you.
You know what? That's right. Hey, I'm out of here. It's a good word. And you know what? Same with the apostles. If you remember when Jesus died on the cross, he didn't have his bones broken because that was according to prophecy. No bones were broken. Everything else you said, I'm 100% on board. So here's what we have. Even all of the apostles, they were cowering. They were scared once Jesus died. If you remember on the Emmaus Road on Luke 24, if you haven't read that chapter, read Luke 24 today. It says that the disciples, some of them were going to this little town on the Emmaus Road, and they're really dejected because they were on this road, and this guy Jesus, they thought he was the Messiah, and he had died. And it says that Jesus came up to them after he was resurrected. And it says that he hid. I don't know if he had his face covered or, you know, like a hoodie or something type of thing, or if it was a spiritual thing. But he says he went up to them. He says, what's going on? He's like, haven't you heard? And what happened in Jerusalem? There was a guy claiming to be, they said, a prophet now, because now he's dead to them. He's like, yeah, he was a prophet. He did miracles of God. It was incredible. People were getting healed, saved, everything. We had hoped that he would be the Messiah. And he even said it. He would come back in 3 days and rise again as a testimony. And here we are. It's 3 days. And we hadn't seen him. And he walked along the road and he just said, how foolish you are and how slow to believe all the testimonies the prophets have given you throughout the scriptures. And then he said to them, and then it says he went through all the way to the beginning of the Bible from Moses, all the way up until them, and explained the scriptures that all testified about Jesus. And then it says that he broke communion with them, and when he did that, he revealed himself to who he was, and they're like, oh my God, literally. Oh my God. Yeah. He is the Messiah. Didn't our hearts burn within us when he, you know what? If I could have been one place, okay, this is on my top tens list. I don't know if you do this. I do this in my mind. Boy, I wish I could have been there when. I would love to have been on that road when he's explaining all the scriptures. This is me. This was Jesus. This was Messiah, right? Hallelujah. It's all about Jesus. Does that make sense? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now I'm seeing more hands raised up. I already said one hand. Nobody listens to me in this church. All right, Gage, go back there and give it to that guy. Mark, I already gave you a chance to speak. So now we'll give you Lester a chance. Oh, sorry, you got to turn it on. We all want to hear you. It does. If it doesn't work... See, and you wondered why, no questions. I was happy to wrap it up. Oh, there you go.
Thank you. What it boils down to is Romans chapter 3, verse 4. Let God be true and every man a liar.
Yes, yes. less. Amen. Listen, here's the bottom line, guys. If you don't know, people are in it for themselves. They're going to talk, manipulate, use whatever they need to do to point in whatever direction they want to go. The neat thing about God, he's just pointing in one direction. And because he loves you. So listen, you could have people call you whatever they want to call you. As for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Amen. All right, well, let's pray. Father God, I just want to say thank you for this great group of people here and online, Lord. I'm just so encouraged by the comments from last week and that folks are watching and being encouraged, Lord. I pray for them, Lord, all the people online who watch, Lord, and later on the week, that you would bless them abundantly, Lord God, that you would encourage their spirits, Lord God. I pray, Lord, for every person here, Lord, that's able to join us in the baptism, Lord God. Lord, I pray just a supernatural blessing on them, Lord God, as we come together for your sake to testify about what you have done. I pray for those getting baptized today, Lord God, that today, young or a little bit older, would be a testimony for you, Lord, that they wouldn't do this for anybody else, but they're doing it for the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, and they're doing it as a testimony for you, and that you would help them and do whatever it takes to help them to walk in the newness of life, God. Bless this body of believers, Lord. Bless the worship time, Lord God, as if Mariah's coming out and doing the worship, Lord. Bless that time together, Lord, and bless this body in a way, Lord, that shows everybody it's nothing else, it's nobody else, it's you, Jesus, that's doing the work. We love you, Lord, and we bless you, and we ask for your help that we may walk in step with your Holy Spirit. And all God's people together say, amen, amen, and amen. We'll see you at the baptism, Coquina Beach, 4 p.m. in Jesus' name.